free to collect your cup of coffee or tea so that you don't run out of time. For those who do not have the hard copies, you'll get them. Because some technology is failing us, more especially the honorable members, you'll get the copies. There are new copies other than the ones that we bought. You are free to sit wherever you want to sit. It doesn't matter. Okay. We officially meeting for the first time as this brand new department and the committee members. So we'll take it. We have to know one another. We are unfortunately stuck to one another for the next 4 years, 4 months. So I'm Tumsani Kamede. So far, I'm chairing this committee. And we'll introduce ourselves from my left, everybody, so that each and every one of us knows the other.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Shiri Chen. I'm from Harken. I'm a member of Listed and Select Committee. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Elsa Findlingen from the Eastern Cape. Thank you.
Kenneth Sinclair, Northern Cape.
Jomonya Mpumala. Bafunani Arnhem Nguni, Free State.
My name is Cindy Santumayo from the Department of Tourism. I'm the GDG responsible for tourism.
Lisa Hoskin, General Manager Operations for the Tourism Enterprise Partnership.
Oh, good morning, Honorable Members and Chairperson. My name is Victor Tarage. I'm Chief Director responsible for Business Performance Management.
Good morning, Chair Members. Dirk van Skalsbeek. I'm the Acting DG Tourism now. But I've also filled the role as the COO of the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism.
Good morning. I'm Linda Sutier, CEO of the Tourism Empowerment Council.
Good morning. Apologies for being late. I'm Nivashni from the Tourism Grading Council, Operations Manager.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Rutega Mtileni. I'm the committee secretary for this committee.
Hi, good morning. My name is Abdullah Hanif. I'm the researcher for the committee.
Good morning. I'm Eva. I'm assisting the parliamentary officer in the department.
Good morning, I'm Johan Durant, I'm the parliamentary officer.
Good morning, I'm a committee assistant, I'm Simamia Ramchandjini.
I'm Mabotsiso Upala, parliamentary monitor from PMG.
Thanks very much. We'll try and just, by the time we finish this presentation, we'll be knowing one another. Acting DG, it will be up to you to lead this presentation and with your troop.
Thank you, Chair and members. Perhaps just to sort of state up front that Sindiso will do the presentation and then I will deal with the financial side at the end around the split of the department. Just to say that as far as the macro government organizational process is concerned, that we're in the final stages of splitting the Department of Environmental Affairs. and tourism into environment and tourism. It's almost completed, and we are now busy with the budgeting process that needs to be submitted to National Treasury within the next 2 weeks. So everything is on par as far as our department and the creation of the new department is concerned. Some of those issues will be lifted, and the budget at the end is basically giving a guideline of how we, where we're going with the new department. So I'm going to hand over to Sandiswa.
Thank you very much, Acting DG and Chair, Honourable Members. I will be taking you through the presentation, and the presentation outline is as follows. I'll just take you through where tourism is at this moment, and then I will just move to the rationale for the choice of priorities that we have as a department, and then I'll focus on the strategic objectives, priorities, key performance areas, indicators, and targets for this financial year, and then zoom on the preparations for 2010, but briefly focus on the lessons learned from the Confederations Cup, and then take you through to the process that we're currently undertaking to develop a strategy for tourism. And then I will hand over to the Acting DG to focus on the budget and also M&E issues. And then the next slide, which is more pictorial, it's just giving an indication in terms of what is our role when it comes to tourism. As you can see at the center, I'm on slide number 3. At the center, the strategy that is coordinated by the National Department of Tourism, but what we would like to highlight is the fact that tourism is a concurrent function, which means that tourism is also a responsibility for provincial government as well as local government. And for us to make it a success, it is important for the three spheres of government to work together to make tourism as a success. National is there to provide leadership, and provinces, they've got a role, and local government has a role. And then what we do in terms of tourism, we focus on marketing and branding, which is led by South African Tourism, and we work very closely with the GCIS, which is a government communications. We work close with IMC, provinces, and the industry in ensuring that we market South Africa as a destination. And then we also focus on product and enterprise development, and in so doing, we work closely with Tourism Enterprise Partnership. We work with the Department of Trade and Industry. And then in doing safety, because we have a responsibility to ensure safety of visitors coming to South Africa. And in that regard, we work with Department of Police, and we also work with health and also transport, because safety is not just about crime, but it's also about ensuring that visitors are safe from diseases and are safe from traveling in our roads in our country. And then we also do transformation, which is about ensuring that the sector benefits all South Africans. And in that regard, we work with TEXA, which is represented by Beula here, and we work closely with DTI as a custodian for the BEE Act in South Africa. On skills and service levels, which is about, because tourism is about people, and our competitiveness is defined by how people deliver service, so we work very closely with CETA, which is a CETA, responsible for tourism, Department of Education as a custodian for defining curriculum for education in South Africa, as well as Department of Labor, because they're responsible for people and provinces. In terms of transport, we work with the Department of Transport, because without people moving, without modes transport inside South Africa and people being able to come to here, we're not going to have tourism that is sustainable. So we work closely with Department of Transport in that regard. We also do investments and incentives, and we work closely with DTI to ensure that businesses are properly funded to run tourism. And most importantly, we're also responsible for quality assurance, which we work through the Tourism Grading Council and also the industry and guides. So the satellite begins to paint a picture in terms of what is our role as a department, but what it also highlights is the fact that we cannot do it alone. If the other departments, if other spheres of government don't play their role, then we're not going to be able to achieve our mandate. So I just wanted to highlight that. The next slide begins to showcase in terms of how we've performed as a country. And on this slide, it shows that as South Africa, we have outperformed global tourism growth. Our global, the global international arrivals in 2008 grew by 1.3%, but as a country, we grew by 5.5%, which means that our growth is above the global average, which is positive news for South Africa, that as much as the growth is not as bigger in terms of globally, but as a country, we have exceeded what is happening globally. And it also shows in terms of how we compare to other continents. And as you can see, we're doing very well, except for Middle East that has that have the growth that is above us. The next slide begins to paint a picture in terms of how tourism has grown. The arrivals to South Africa pre-1994, it was less than 500,000 visitors coming to South Africa, but last year we recorded 9.6 million arrivals, which shows that tourism is growing. But I think as we go through the presentation, we're going to be looking growing for whom, because there are some challenges around transformation, challenges around certain issues, but we have an industry that is growing that can be shared by all. But there are certain challenges that we hope to work with honorable members in making sure that we address those challenges. Like I've said, tourism contribution is currently sitting at 8.4% of the GDP, which translates to 178 billion rand contribution to South African economy. Currently, it's creating more than a million jobs, 1.04 million jobs. Globally, because of what is happening in terms of the recession, tourism is expected to decline by 8% to April 2009. And then if the situation doesn't change, it might further decline by 5 to 6%. But however, as a country, we've experienced decline that is not as high as envisaged, as projected globally. Our decline in the first 3 months, we've seen for the first time ever in the first quarter that we've experienced decline. So it means that the recession is affecting us. We've seen a decline of 2.5%, but which is not as bad as what is happening globally, where they're looking at 8% and also the further growth. But we are, however, confident that with the confidence that the world has on us, as we have hosted Confederations Cup, we hosted Indian Premier League, we hosted the Lions, and we're confident that the second quarter we're not going to have the decline that we've seen, because we had reasons for people to come to our country and visit us. And what we have seen with the decline is that as much as there has been a decline, but land market, people who come to South Africa by land, which means that cross-border, not through airports, there's been an increase. It's the most resilient type of visitors that we're seeing. But when it comes to air travelers, we're seeing that there is a decline. So the decline that we're talking about is mainly in areas of air travel. But we are seeing that, yeah, that's the situation. But however, as I've said, is that we are not immune to challenges. Economic recession is affecting us. There's issues of swine flu, diseases that are taking place that are impacting on our tourism growth. Crime perception of South Africa is not a safe destination is also a challenge. We also have a challenge around distribution. We currently sitting with a situation whereby out of 9 provinces of South Africa, we have what we call the most visited provinces, which are 3 provinces and the 6 provinces that are less visited. So we still have to work hard to improve distribution of visitors, because most people who come to South Africa, they go to Gauteng, they go to Western Cape, and they go to Durban. And we've got 6 provinces with beautiful products and attractions that are not getting the fair share of visitors. So we need to work hard in that regard. We're also affected by seasonality, which is attributed to the fact that most of the tourism to South Africa is mainly based on leisure, and leisure is taken only during certain holidays. So we are working very hard to look at what other forms of tourism that we can promote so that we can attract more people to our country, like business tourism, like business sports tourism, event tourism, etc. Seasonality is still a challenge that we have to deal with moving forward. And then the next slide begins to look at transformation. We have a tourism BEE charter, which was agreed upon with the industry and which was launched in 2005. And then in 2007, we did a review in terms of how far we've progressed in terms of transformation. From that review, what we've noticed was the fact that the larger players, the bigger players, have embraced transformation. However, the smaller players who make the bulk of the tourism industry, we have a situation whereby 10% of the industry is dominated by larger players and 90% is smaller players, because most of businesses in tourism are family owned. But the 90% is not embracing transformation, but the 10% is embracing transformation. So there is still a challenge in that regard that we need to work hard to make sure that the bulk responds to transformation. But the good news also is the fact that in 2009, first quarter of this year, our charter acquired a legal status, which means that our charter is now legally binding to all organs of states who want to do business. If any business wants to do business with government or agencies of government, they need to ensure that they are transformed, even with the committee. So if you, the committee is compelled to use transformed businesses, so because the charter is legally binding, if you're part of the organ of state, you need to ensure that you use transformed businesses. And we're using this as a lever to drive transformation, because in terms of procurement, government spends more than $2.3 billion on this sector. And if we can use our muscle to compel the industry to change, then we can be able to contribute to transformation. And towards the end of this year, we're going to do another review where we will see how the industry has progressed. I've indicated that one of the challenges with transformation is that most of the industry is dominated by businesses with a turnover of less than 5 million, mainly family businesses. So we need to talk about how do we transform family-owned businesses. We also have challenges related to access to finance, because in this sector it takes longer to break even, so banks are reluctant to provide financing to the sector, so we need to tackle that challenge. There's also a bigger challenge whereby, which is mainly related to the creation by government, we've got two acts that are contradicting each other. We've got public PPFA, it's Preferential Procurement Act, which is contrasting with the BEE Act. It says in order to do business with government, you need to charge less. It's based on the 80-20 and 90-10 principles, whereas BEE Act is like saying government must do business with people who are transformed. So we have a challenge of aligning those two acts, so which is a big challenge. But at this point in time, the Department of Trade and Industry and Finance and Treasury are working closely to ensure that there's alignment between the two acts, because it's saying government procure from most empowered businesses, but at the same time, there's an act which says buy from a person who gives you a cheaper price. So it's not talking the same language. It kills smaller businesses because they can't compete with the bigger players in that regard. There's also challenges with respect to the high turnover rate of black managers due to demand and the fact that we've got scarcity of people who are really skilled in taking over responsibility to manage hotels, so which is a challenge to implement transformation. There's also limited investment in skills development by the private sector, which is a challenge that we need to deal with. In terms of enterprise development, during the first quarter, we've done fairly well. We've assisted over 342 SMMEs, and 246 of them were HDE, and then they were assisted to the tune of 83,992,525 worth of transactions. So we've done so well during the first quarter. And then in terms of signing up SMMEs for 2010, at this point in time, we've got 8,380 SMMEs, BNBs, non-hotel accommodation that has been signed for 2010. We have trained 321 emerging tour operators, and we have also developed heritage clusters in four cities to ensure that SMMEs are empowered with stronger products to sell the unique attributes of South Africa. And that has happened in Cape Town, in Durban, in Nelspruit, and Soweto. And we've got those businesses that are working closely in order to ensure that they sell the South Africa experience. Last year on its own, we have there has been an increase in turnover of 568 million generated for enterprise supported through the Tourism Enterprise Partnership. 9,879 people jobs were created through the program that we had. We had 1,436 enterprises assisted through the Business Development Fund, 66% of which were black. Historically disadvantaged, black means colored Indians and Africans and now Chinese with the changes that have taken place. We had 944 tourism small businesses trained, 1,222 tourism small on service excellence, 3,068 businesses trained on the toolkit around how best to manage their businesses in terms of human resources, in terms of financial management, etc. We also had 60 tourism small businesses mentored, whereby we create an opportunity for bigger players to support smaller players. We assisted 50 businesses to develop growth strategies for their businesses. Like I've said, there's 4 tourism clusters developed. We've also involved in supporting craft, and we have assisted 285 craft sales, and then there's 353 non-hotel rooms that have been signed for 2010, last year. In terms of skills development, last year we hosted the first ever Tourism Careers Expo, which is about creating a platform whereby we communicate career opportunities in tourism, and then we attracted more than 15,000 learners to the expo. And this year we're going to be having another fair, which is going to be taking place from the 19th to the 21st of September in Durban, where we're expecting to attract 20,000 learners. And we will appreciate if maybe honorable members can make time to come and see, because it's becoming a bigger event where we begin to showcase tourism opportunities, career options, entrepreneurial options in tourism. It's taking place in Durban. We also trained 4,030 ambassadors who were part of the Confederations Cup. We developed a strategy for service excellence in the sector. We trained SMMEs, 1,657. We placed 6 graduates on an international placement program in Canada. We also trained 65 tourist guides in foreign languages, because come 2010, we need guides who can be able to converse in languages of the visitors, because it seems like you're more welcoming if you can speak in Spanish, Portuguese, French, and Germany. So we're facilitating training in foreign languages in partnership with embassies. And then we have struck an agreement with the Spanish embassy to train 40 guides in Spanish language by the end of September. In terms of quality assurance and removal of blockages, we have graded, during the first quarter, we graded 610 new properties, and we facilitated the renewal of 1,242 properties, and then we're also dealing with a number of late renewals, which is in place. But however, moving forward, we need to strengthen quality assurance, because at this point in time, quality assurance in South Africa is only focusing on accommodation. But moving forward, as a new Department of Tourism, we're looking at extending it to all parts of the tourism service value chain, so that you have a situation whereby everyone who operates in tourism is quality assured. So we're exploring that through review of legislation. We've also engaged with Foreign Affairs to reduce visa turnaround times in 2 countries, Nigeria and China. We have an elite strategy that we've facilitated with the Department of Transport. And we've got responsible tourism guidelines that are in place for the industry to be responsible. But we still have a challenge with respect to the Universal Accessibility Scheme, which is about facilitating tourism to be accessible to the disabled. We have a challenge in encouraging uptake, and we've recently appointed somebody who's going to be driving that process in government to ensure that we go big in ensuring that there's high intake, and then the challenges related to uptake of this is addressed. So it is still a challenge that we're working towards that. The next slide begins to look at the broader medium-term strategic objectives for the tourism department, what we would be looking at in the near future. We, as the Department of Tourism, we're looking at establishing a national vision and strategy for the tourism sector, and I know that we will be coming back to the committee to present on the strategy, on the draft strategy that is currently being developed. We're also exploring issues around reviewing the current legislation, because there's certain issues that are not covered on the current legislation that we have. So we will be working hard to engage the committee on reviewing the legislation so that we can address issues that are difficult to do without appropriate legislation in place. We're in a process of finalizing the establishment of the National Department of Tourism. We're also going to be focusing on growing and sustaining the market share through ensuring that we increase domestic and international tourism. will focus on developing and transforming the tourism sector, will create jobs and alleviate poverty through poverty relief projects and also SMPP that we're already working on, and we will work towards promoting corporate and cooperative good governance. And then the next slide begins to focus on the rationale for the priorities that we've selected. So what we've done is that we've looked at the priorities, medium-term strategic priorities, and then how, as a department, we're contributing to that. Instead, in terms of speeding up growth and transformation of the economy to create decent work and sustainable livelihood, what we're doing as a department is that we will strengthen and grow tourism. We're promoting sector transformation. We're doing SMME development, promoting sustainable job creation and GDP growth, and we will also look at the 2010 World Cup implementation of the plan. To support the priority around massive program to build social and economic infrastructure, we've got a tourism product development strategy that looks at development of products in other provinces so that we can diversify the products that we have as a country, but we're also looking at implementing the 2010 FIFA World Cup plan for tourism. To support rural development, we will be developing the rural tourism strategy, and in terms of the new structure, we will have somebody whose sole responsibility will be to drive rural tourism development strategy for the country. But we're also going to be looking at developing niche tourism, such as culture and heritage tourism. We're also going to be focusing on improving geographic spread and ensuring that we address the challenges with respect to those provinces that are less visited. Fighting against crime and corruption, we've got a tourism safety and awareness strategy, and then we also have the victim support program, which is about ensuring that we support a tourist in the unlikely event of incident happening against tourists visiting our country, and working with SAP. In terms of cohesive and sustainable communities, we have community development through implementation of poverty alleviation projects, and we will be promoting domestic tourism. In terms of creating a better life, a better Africa, and a better world, we are working with African countries to roll out the NEPA tourism program. And in terms of facilitating education, we've got a tourism human resources development strategy that we are implementing. And then the next slide focuses on the key priorities and KPIs for this new department, and which is related to the mandate. Like I said, we'll be finalizing the national tourism strategy. We'll be reviewing the legislation. We'll ensure that South Africa takes advantage of opportunities brought by hosting 2010 FIFA World Cup. We will promote tourism product development through developing, diversifying products that we offer through promoting sports tourism, medical tourism, events tourism, cultural and business tourism. We'll grow the sector, we'll sustain job creation, and we'll continue to sustain the sector. We'll also implement social responsible programs. We'll ensure adequate and relevant skills availability. We'll also quality assure products and services, and then implement the review of the grading system. We will promote responsible tourism and ensure that there's good citizenship in tourism, and include universal access and ensure that there's uptake of universal accessibility scheme in the tourism sector. And then we will also continue to market South Africa as an international destination of choice, thus ensuring that we grow the GDP, we contribute to job creation, to tourism spread, and spread geographic spread and seasonality, and then we'll promote domestic tourism. In terms of governance, we will enable parliamentary oversight, and we will strengthen tourism cooperative governance, because as I've indicated, we need other spheres of government to ensure that we deliver on tourism. We also need other departments to support us, so we need to improve the cooperative governance. We will ensure quality stakeholder engagement, because tourism is about public and private sector working together. So we need to strengthen the relationship with private sector to deliver the best tourism. We need to ensure financial resourcing of the sector strategy, because what happens is government will develop good strategies, but if they're not well funded, then it becomes the paper in the cupboard and it's not really delivering much. We will ensure availability of adequate human capital, best people to run government, not typical government employees. And we facilitate risk management by ensuring that we understand in advance the vulnerabilities that will affect the sector so that we can respond proactively rather than reactively. So we will do that. We will facilitate affirmative procurement as government using our lever to promote transformation. We will improve knowledge and information management through ensuring that we've got quality information that is available timely to enable us to make decision making. We want to be a transformed employer of choice as a department. We will ensure effective entity oversight because we've got entities reporting to the department. We'll have to ensure that they are adhering to the Public Finance Management Act and other government mechanisms in government. And we will also want to maintain the high standard of accountability and responsibility, and we want to continue as a Department of Tourism to achieve unqualified audits, as we have done in the past. We will work towards ensuring that. So the next slide begins to just focus on the actual targets per all those issues that I've mentioned. In terms of SRD, we want to implement 50% of each. In terms of service excellence, we will implement 50% of that. In terms of tourist guide training, we are targeting, based on the resources that we have, to train 160, upskill and train new guides, and then we will also facilitate 150 placement opportunities. In terms of accommodation establishments, we want to add 1,632 new properties that are graded, and then we'll also encourage those properties that are already graded to renew their grading. Currently, we have 6,007, and we would love them to renew the grading, which happens annually. We would like to ensure that 45% of organs of state procure from graded establishments, so that we'll encourage more establishments to be graded. We will also research international and national guidelines for mandatory registration of tourism businesses. This will help us a lot because as a Department of Tourism, we don't have an inventory in terms of who operates in this sector. So we will focus on introducing a mandatory registration of tourism businesses so that it's not just to over-regulate the industry, but it's about understanding the supply, and it's also about ensuring that people operating in the sector adhere to minimum standards related to safety, health, hygiene, truthful advertising, and human rights issues moving forward. We will also review legislation and explore the creation of the Tourism Quality Agency for South Africa. Currently, the Tourism Grading Council, which is responsible for grading facilities, is a business unit of South African Tourism, but we're exploring the creation of an agency that is going to be called Tourism Quality Assurance Agency for South Africa to quality assure all establishments in South Africa. We're also engaging with the industry to contribute to energy efficiency. We've developed a brochure on encouraging the industry to be energy efficient. We're working closely with ESCOM and also DME, Department of Minerals and Energy. I don't know what it is now. Department of Energy now. In terms of ensuring that we encourage the sector to play its part to contributing to energy efficiency. We also support the InValo Awards, which is about acknowledging those businesses that are responsible. And we also have, we are in the process of finalizing minimum standards for responsible tourism, which we will launch in November during the World Tourism Responsible Day, and which is about ensuring that the sector country has minimum standards around that. We also want to support the province in developing products, and then we also want to support two provinces in implementing second economy strategy for tourism. We're in the process of finalizing a strategy for cruise liner tourism, and this sector is one of the sectors that South Africa has never taken advantage of cruise liner tourism, so we will be working very closely with coastal provinces to finalize the strategy. We've got a draft strategy, and if the opportunity avails itself, we would love to have an opportunity where we take through the committee in terms of what is the outcomes of the feasibility study for this and share that with the committee. We're also in the process of developing a framework and a strategy for medical tourism, which we'll also want to engage the committee on. And then we work with the Tourism Business Council to host the Hospitality Investment Conference. And this conference will take place on the 4th of November, and it's going to be in Johannesburg, which is about promoting investment opportunities in Africa and South Africa. We have a 2010 plan, and we plan by before the end of this year to have 90% of the plan implemented. And then this year we also plan to, in addition to the 4,000 ambassadors that we've trained, we want to train additional 5,000 ambassadors. Because of the resources that we have. So that's what we plan to do. in terms of what we our target on enterprise development for next year, for this financial year, I'm sorry, we plan to facilitate transactions to the value of 450 million, and we plan to create 6,000 additional jobs through enterprises that we support. We will assist 1,600 enterprises, and then 1,350 of them will be HDE, and then we will ensure registration of 1,000 SMMEs, and then we will do 1,000 business, small business diagnostic. We'll complete 1,000 diagnostic for small businesses. In terms of training, we will support 1,165 businesses on SA Host, which is more around service excellence. We will also train them on Toolkit 2,302, and we'll train on business skills 1,187, and we'll facilitate 80 businesses to achieve mentorship through the mentorship program that we have. And honorable members, the next slide begins to focus on the targets for the future. As I've indicated, that we have challenges that we're currently facing, the recession, which is beyond our control. So what we've done here is that the minister has been very public in talking about us achieving 10 million visitors by 2010. And we offer a view in terms of looking at what is happening, that if all goes well, this year, we currently, last year we achieved 9.6 million visitors. But if all things were perfect and we have more events happening, we will achieve 10 million visitors this year. And then next year we're looking at 11 million because of the World Cup, etc. And then beyond that, we will increase the numbers. But if things were as they were, if there were no events, and then we were at where we are, and there was no stimulation that is currently happening, we offer the view that this year we'll achieve 9.8 million visitors, and next year we will achieve 10 million visitors, and then by 2011 we're looking at 10.4. But if the recession hits us, and if bad things happen, we're also planning for the worst case scenario, whereby we will foresee a situation where we will have a decline for the first time, which is minus 6.4% arrivals this year. But this is also going to be below the global decline, which is 8%. But we're looking at that situation. And next year, we might not achieve 10 million, but we're confident that with the World Cup, we will achieve that. But we're saying that we're planning around the three scenarios, that if all was all fine and we had everything and events, we will do well. But if we're where we are, this is what we're going to achieve. But if things don't go well, we're also planning that we might be getting this situation. But we will work very hard to ensure that we at least stick to the all things being equal and achieve the figures that we have moving forward. And then moving to 2010, which is the next slide. As a department, we've got the Tourism 2010 plan, because we believe that tourism is the sector that is going to benefit the most out of hosting this event. So because of that, we put together the Tourism 2010 plan, and the plan has got six pillars. It is looking at the areas of marketing and branding, whereby we will engage stakeholders in South Africa to promote South Africa, managing displacement, and making sure that people come to South Africa, because we believe that events on its own don't create... They don't encourage visitation. They create awareness. But as a country, we need to market so that the awareness is converted into actual visitation. So we've got a pillar that looks into marketing and branding. We also want to improve on information management, whereby we want to create a national content management platform that will enable to inform people before they come to South Africa in terms of what we can offer, but at the same time be able to provide information when they are here. We're looking at the call centers. We're looking at also understanding the demand for the World Cup and ensuring that we've got the right information to ensure that we provide information to the visitors. Events and attractions look at ensuring that when people come here, it's not just about 90 minutes when the games are played. It's about creating an opportunity to showcase destination of South Africa. So we will put together events that will make people, keep people busy beyond 90 minutes, but also want them to stay longer than 32 days when the games are to play. And also when they go back, they come back as future ambassadors for South Africa. So that's events and attractions. Around skills and service level, we're looking at addressing skills and service excellence so that people who come here, they become future ambassadors. Transport and safety, we need to have safe transport and adequate transport to transport people and also ensure that people are safe. and accommodation. We need to ensure that people have quality assured accommodation, and that accommodation is adequate to meet the demand of people becoming around. And on that note, I would love to place it on record to the committee that South Africa, we're confident that as a country, we have enough accommodation to accommodate visitors who will be coming to South Africa. Contrary to what has been on the media, what FIFA match has been talking about is contracted accommodation, but I will dwell on that when I come to accommodation moving forward. But we do have adequate accommodation moving forward. And then the next slide begins to just showcase the picture in terms of what accommodation is graded. We currently have 7,140 establishments that are graded and with 100,013 rooms, which is far beyond the 55,000 required by MERJ. Those are graded rooms, quality assured rooms in South Africa. And in terms of the database that we have in of accommodation, we currently know that we have 12,953 establishments, which means that the grading council has 55% share of the current accommodation establishment. So if you begin to add that, it means that as a country we do have adequate accommodation. And then the last column begins to say, to showcase what has been contracted with MERJ. Currently we're sitting at 35,352 rooms that have been contracted, which is short of the 55,000. And the reason why it's short is because contracting with MERJ is a business decision. We cannot force people to sign up with MERJ because MERJ is a company created by FIFA to sell accommodation for 2010. So they engage with businesses to let them sign up with them, and then the contractual agreements that they get into them. So people sign up with them are those people who are happy with the contract, but some of them are not happy with the contract because they're of the view that around 2010, they already have clients that they have, so they can't just sign up with somebody who's going to put a markup on their existing accommodation. So there are issues around contractual issues on 2010. In terms of skills and service levels, we've got a strategy in place. We've got a tourism ambassador program whereby we've trained 4,030 ambassadors. We've got a tourism service excellence strategy in place. And then before 2010, we plan to train 250,000 frontline staff members on service excellence. And we also want to upskill tour operators and tourist guides and also continue with training SMMEs. Transport and safety, we've got a strategy in place, and then that strategy has now been rolled out in 6 of the 9 provinces, and this year we're focusing on getting the other 3 having the same strategy so that they can be able to have a seamless management of safety. We work with the Department of Transport to ensure that there's adequate transport, and they give us enough information in terms of what they're going to be providing, and then we're also working with transport to ensure that aviation issues are addressed. In terms of information, we have the stakeholder and consumer portal to give information on 2010. We have a tourism special viewer whereby we've mapped graded establishments, but we've extended this to ensure that all attractions are mapped out so that visitors can know exactly what to find where. We also undertake research every 6 months to ensure that we understand how many visitors will be coming, what they'll be looking for, so that we can plan accordingly. As this department, we're also building visitor information centers in host cities. In Port Elizabeth, we've got Minister last month launched the 3 visitor centers in Port Elizabeth, which have been completed. In Rustenburg, there's an information center which is 80% completed. In Nelspruit, also 80% completed. Polokwane, 20% completed. And Bloemfontein, 15% completed. But we're hopeful that come 2010, as this department will have information centers in all those areas. We also have a Tourism 2010 travel guide, and we're working towards establishment of the 24-hour toll-free number for South Africa and also ensure that our information centers are geared to service the needs of the fans. In terms of marketing, we've launched a global marketing partnership program, which is reaching over 2 billion people across the world through broadcasters such as CNN, BBC, Eurosport, News Corporation, etc. And that was launched at Indaba, and it's now being flighted over CNN. If you've seen the Discreet Dance advert that is out there, which is about encouraging South Africa to host the World Cup. Domestically, we want to create a vibe. Dr. Khoza on Monday talked about the fact that he cannot feel 2010. He doesn't feel the vibe. So we're working closely with GCIS and other departments to ensure that we encourage South Africans to be good hosts during 2010. One of the programs that we're looking at is the Fly the South Africa Flag campaign. We're encouraging every South African to put up the flag and really be proud of being South Africa. We're also going to be looking at ensuring that all South Africans know the national anthem. We're currently sitting with a situation whereby very few people understand all the parts of the anthem. So we will ensure that even through karaoke, people learn to know the meaning. I know that there's two lines that I don't know, but because I don't understand the meaning. So we need to encourage more people to understand what they are singing about so that they can really understand the stuff. We also want to encourage South Africans to support Bafana Bafana, win or lose. In the unlikely event that Bafana Bafana lose, we want South Africans to support at least an African country so that we keep the vibe during the World Cup. We want more South Africans to also learn the disco dance, which is about the campaign that we've launched. And then we also of the view that we need to intensify marketing in the African country because this World Cup might never come to Africa in our lifetime. So we need to encourage more Africans to own this World Cup and be part of it. So we will have to intensify our efforts in Africa. In terms of events, we continually promoting the event in different countries. We've been to Colombia, Netherlands, France, Cameroon, Poland, London, Egypt, and Retosa promoting this. And we're also ensuring that the event leaves legacy in terms of attractions. And it is for this reason that it's so nice when you, in Durban, the stadium, the Moses Mabhida Stadium, is built in such a way that it's not just going to be a typical soccer stadium, but it's going to be an attraction for Durban. It's got a cable car, so when people visit Durban, they can go on top and have the beautiful view of the beautiful city of Durban. And then Greenpoint also, it's built in such a way that when you go on top of the stadium, then you can view Robben Island, you can see Table Mountain, etc. So these stadiums are leaving legacy and leaving attraction. In Port Elizabeth, the stadium there is completed, but where else in the world have you seen a stadium and then next to it is the sea? So it's done in such a way that it leaves legacy for future tourism in our country. The next slide begins to communicate the events that we're going to be looking at to promote 2010. We're going to be going to the World Travel Market in London in November to promote 2010, where we will have media event and experiential exhibition focusing on 2010. Final draw, which is on the 4th of December in Cape Town, we plan to host foreign journalists and also provide information desk on South Africa and also communicate promotional material. We're also going to be participating in SoccerX. In Durban 2010, next year, it's going to be very big on 2010, since it's going to be the year where the event will take place. ITB 2010 is going to also focus on 2010. And during the World Cup, we'll ensure that we provide information to visitors and ensure that people who want to explore beyond 90 minutes have something to do. In terms of coordination, we've got a cluster, Tourism 2010 cluster, which is co-chaired by the department as well as South African Tourism, and it meets quarterly. It has host cities, it's got provinces to discuss how best we can take advantage of 2010, and we also participate in other forums that are in place, and then we also participate in Zimbizos, and then we report on MIPCAT. However, on 2010, there are challenges. It's not all nice. There's also issues of structured coordination that as much as we're trying to coordinate, but people, we're still not speaking from the same voice. We're not really saying, come to South Africa. We still talk about Mangaung. We still talk about Cape Town. And we're working towards ensuring that there's structured coordination whereby we sell South Africa first and the rest falls within that as soon as we can move that. There's also, I've indicated, the limited domestic hype, which is something that we're working on. And then also in terms of budgeting, I must be honest to the honorable members, when the county budgeted for 2010, we put little emphasis on the human element issues, service excellence, etc. Our focus has been on hard issues, the roads, the infrastructure, the airports, and the stadium. But there's limited investment in human issues, which are going to leave longer-lasting legacy. There's also limited focus on positioning the event in Africa, which we're going to be improving on. There's also limited marketing due to budget. There was no additional funding that was allocated for 2010. So we're trying to juggle within what we have to ensure that we take the better of it. And then there's also limited targeted marketing in areas that I like to qualify. I've indicated that I'm not going to go through the Confederations Cup, so I'm just going to skip. The first slideshow talks about the number of participants and then what has happened in terms of safety, what has happened in terms of access, what has happened in terms of volunteers. But what we're saying here is that we've learned a lesson in terms of volunteers. We also view that we need to improve the training so the volunteers can be capacitated in clearly defined competencies as indicated on the report. I'm not going to go through the details. Marketing, we need to really go big on Africa and also improve marketing. Information provisioning was a challenge. We need to improve on this matter moving forward so that we provide information to the visitors. Accommodation, we need to just ensure that we've got a portal to communicate what we have on accommodation so that people can know how to access information, so that we don't have a situation whereby people say South Africa doesn't have adequate accommodation. So we will improve the development of a portal in this regard. We also have the view that Confederations Cup was sort of a missed opportunity because we felt that the local character was not showcased. As much as we had vuvuzelas, but we felt that the fact that we cannot integrate the soul of Africa, South Africa into what is happening, because it's a FIFA World Cup in South Africa, it's a challenge that we need to plan creatively in terms of how do we bring the soul moving forward. So those are lessons. And then I want all to move on to slide 49 now, which is on the establishment of the Department of Tourism. And as you know that the President has proclaimed that we will be establishing the Department of Tourism. This is a positive news, and we're looking forward to not being part of other things and focus on building this sector and ensuring that it contributes to jobs. And what has happened now is that we've completed the resource split of the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism from Environment and Tourism. We have the draft sector strategy in place, which we will be presenting to the committee in the future. We also have a discussion document on the legislation around what is it that we need to include on the legislation, and then we have defined the purpose, roles, functions, and we have a draft structure of the department in place, which we will take through the committee on. And then in terms of the strategy, we have conducted a review of existing plans, and Minister had roadshows in all provinces, and we had stakeholder workshops. The Minister has appointed the expert panel of experts to advise him in formulating the strategy, and then we plan to have the first draft for comment, public comment by during the first week of September, and then have it completed by November. And then we would love to engage with members around what issues are critical that they feel should be included into the strategy so that we all take ownership of the process. So with those few words, I want to thank you, the honourable members, for listening, and I would love to hand over to the acting DG to take through us the financing part of what we have.
I'm not sure. I'm sure you're supposed to hand it over back to me before I go. How do members feel? Do you feel you want to engage now? Do you feel that you would want to engage now before we go to finances, because you might get some mix-up? Or you continue? Honorable Nguni?
Let them continue, so they can take an order. Thank you, Jay. As indicated earlier, is that the part of the macro-governance process we've agreed within the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism, how we split. So basically the split was realized on formulas we've got from the Department of Public Service Administration as well as Treasury. So the split was done on a 24-74, 24 to tourism, because we only had one branch, very small branch with 60 people, and then your support services. And I think the reality comes through if we then go to slide 53. On the split, the administration component, which means your support services, your legal services, your communications, and the personnel expenditure is in the region of 74 million. The tourism budget is 754 million, and then the sector services, which includes our expanded public works program, because that's also split, but that's split on a 35-65 principle. is 279. So that means that for the 2009-10, the budget for the Department of Tourism will be 1.1 billion. There's also a ruling by the Accounting General that we will have to backdate all expenses to the 1st of April. So basically, that's a struggle for the department, because accountability, auditing, all these issues, you need to sort of revert all of that. But we have to do that exercise. So that means that the department's baseline budget is 1.107 million. I'm not going to go into slide 54, it's just graphics. But if I can take you then to slide 56, which is important, is that if you look at that 1.1 billion, almost 700 million of that money is related to transfer payments to the entities, going to the SA Tourism and to the Grading Council and Tourism Enterprises Program. So what that means is that we've got a very small budget for tourism operations in the sense of about 50 million. If you look at this, the next slide, which is page 57, you will see that the social responsibility program is 200 and almost 270 million. Then planning and coordination and your business performance systems is about 6 million. That's the heart of the department, because this is how you plan the audit things, the business performance management, and then the salaries are the 1.9. What we've then done is that based on that budget, we have done a draft establishment. We've done functions, purpose, and functions of the new department, which then in our adjustment budget or in the budget process for the new financial year, on page 58, the second last sentence there is additional request, is that we are asking for 438 million additional in the new financial year, which mainly are for the creation of a new department and the process of phasing it in. The total personnel complement that will transfer to the new department is 250, and we visualize we will be in the region of 400. So that's a process of us phasing it in over 3 years within the climate situation of government and in consultation with Treasury. That in brief gives us an idea of where we're going. We also need to ask for additional funding now in the unforeseen unavoidable due to the split, where you need to sort of sort out accountability issues around services, your IT systems, all those issues that do have impact. A new ministry has been created. And then slide 59 talks about our monitoring evaluation mechanisms. So as far as that's concerned, we've got the quarterly reporting internally and to National Treasury, and that's also in compliance with the new prescripts of the Auditor General, that you need to have targets on a quarterly basis, and you need to report against that. We've got quarterly informal assessments, then we've got the biannual formal assessments, the evaluation and quarterly reports to determine the performance levels. We supply to the Minister's quarterly performance review meeting, where we present against our business plans and what we've delivered on, basically a target that's in here as far as the KPIs is concerned. And then we're in the process of establishing a balanced scorecard, which will then specifically deliver your outputs against evaluation criteria. That is as far as the finances and the monitoring evaluation is concerned. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much. Now it's the time for members to speak. I see Honorable Nyambi, Honorable Mguni. Okay, you can go ahead. I'll take the other.
Thanks, Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation that is more detailed and informative. It's assisting to give a clue in what is happening. I've got some few questions. The first one, it's in relation to slide 4. what it was. Unfortunate, maybe, because it was not on the screen. It was going to be a different ball game altogether because it was going to be too quick to go there. But despite that, you were so eloquent in trying to present it to us. You highlighted the challenge of 6 provinces not being visited. Then you have these 3 that are visited mostly. My question is, if you check slide 4, you are indicating in terms of a percentage. So in our house, I think we will be failing a bit if we don't put this emphasis on the issue of provinces. I don't know whether it's possible to quickly take us through a reflection of provinces in terms of this percentage, because this is a reflection of the country of South Africa. But for us to see that, even though you might say it's 6 that are not that much visited, but you can be able out of elaboration in explaining that how are the other provinces performing. Like, to be practical, if you check slide 27, when you're dealing with MERJ, it was so excellent the manner in which you presented the issue of accommodation. Even if I'm coming from Northern Cape, I can be able to reflect that in Northern Cape we've got these challenges.
Northern Cape is not applicable.
No, it's applicable, it's like 27. And the other one is when you're talking about enterprise development, how you have empowered SMME. Very same point. If you can be able to reflect to us the SMME that were assisted in relation to provinces, because we can be able to engage on that, trying to assist one who are having a problem in some provinces. The other question is the issue of the second economy establishment. You said you have identified 2 provinces to be assisted. Which are those provinces? The last one is in relation to MERJ. MERJ is the officially accredited company of FIFA, if I'm not mistaken. Don't you have a way of dealing with any other company besides MERJ? Because what you are presenting here and this, states that you are giving here is the one that you got from MERJ. So don't you have any other company, even though that company might not be accredited by FIFA? Don't you have any relations? Those are my questions for now, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thanks, Jay. There's a few short questions. After the last presentation, I know unforeseen and unavoidable expenses give cut estimates, but what are you looking at roughly if your baseline is 1.1 currently when the payments are split? On the Presidential Procurement Policy Framework Act, experience is that small contractors, they say it's also disadvantaging them because big business, they give them 30% money-wise in money terms, and then in 2 months' time, that money is finished now, they can't give them, those SMEs extra because they say, no, you've got your duty, 30%. Now, in tourism, how does that impede progress as far as entrepreneurs concerned, or how does it limit entrepreneurs? In training, you've shown a list of all the training you've done, SMEs, entrepreneurs, all that stuff. What's the success rate? If you train 1,000 entrepreneurs today, how many after 6 months, a year down the line, are successful without department intervention? My last question is on the 500,000 jobs that the president said they are going to be created by the end of this year. What's your contribution in that 500,000 job target? Thanks.
Honorable Mike,
Thank you, Chair. Though I came late, on the presentation, it was said that there will be close relations with transport. Now, my experience during that a small event of Alliance is that there are problems of people moving from one area to the other. For instance, people could not fly from Cape Town to different areas. Planes were fully booked, luggages of people, even those who are playing, could not reach their destination. What plans do we have in place in terms of addressing that particular issue? Because it can be. Because we don't leave for 2010. If, for instance, I'm an ordinary South African, next year, June, I can't go to Kimberley because there's a World Cup taking place. I want to fly on Monday. Now, because there's a World Cup, I'm only able to fly on a Friday. I don't think really it gives a good picture about us. So what is it that you are doing? The other thing is partly what Honorable Nyambi raised with regard to, because we are House of Provinces. Now, I'm a soccer fan, but what happened in the stadium is that you find that these ambassadors that you bring to the stadium are from one province, and that province is Gauteng. That is my experience. Even people who were giving me food in my own province, they could not talk to me in my language. I had to talk to them in the other language for them to understand. Now, why couldn't we then recruit people from ambassadors in terms of provinces? How are we recruiting people? Because today's World Cup must benefit all South Africans. And the legacy in terms of rural development, because this World Cup, as you're putting more emphasis on the World Cup of Africa and what have you. But what do people in rural areas stand to benefit out of the World Cup? Or is it going to be only in the cities that will be hosting? The other thing, it's not a fact, I would want you to verify for me or to tell me. I'm told that even water that is sold in stadiums is not water from South Africa. FIFA has contracted one Switzerland company or what. Now, what don't we have, if that is a fact, because during my visit I did not have a bottled water, I was just giving the water from there. What could then be the point? Why would we have an African event, then we have people contracted from Switzerland, if that is the case, providing us a simple water. And lastly, the food. As I said, that food, local food, was not sold in the stadium. I'm an African and I remain an African. I would want to, because this event should also have economic impact on the people on the ground. Now, why can't we allow our people to bring the food that we love so much in South Africa, our chizanyaman and all of that, and want to import food? Really, if this is really to be an African, or if it is actually to have an economic impact on our people, these are some of the issues that would have to be looked into. Thank you, Chair. I noted other things, but if the second round, because the document is just thick, I will come.
Thank you. Chair, I want to make a few remarks and a few questions. You know, I'm from that province that, according to this, not applicable. Now,
we've taken that as long as you do.
Yeah. No, it's fine, but I'm saying this to say that there's an underlying argument, and the Honourable Member sort of touched on that. honourable member made on the issue about how do we turn around our strategy from this three province, the big three, to the six others. And unfortunately, I'm a bit skeptical about the potential of the 2010 Soccer World Cup to benefit for the exact reason that we've got during the 2010, that month, we've gotten, with due respect, another government, if I can say it. This government's called FIFA, which is the biggest cartel in the world,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I'm just afraid that that government, per se, is so rolled over by bringing this 2010 Soccer World Cup that we are abandoning our responsibilities towards the people that really need those injections. And it's necessary that we must say that. And Sepp Blatter and his team can't forever demand and they get. I think the 2010 or the Confederations Cup to some degree maybe also showed us how predictive FIFA can be if they want to. And we can elaborate on the issue about match and that. The official that presented here didn't read that part in the presentation which says that Zimbabwe is not accepting matches sort of agreements and so on. I don't know. Maybe the Zim dollar is too strong, you know, but I don't know. But which brings me to the next point in terms of the impact. You know, there was a study done in Germany. And I'm saying that after the previous World Cup there, I'm saying this to put the point into perspective. There was a study done in Germany that it was actually detrimental to the German tourism to host a Soccer World Cup. And if you look at the statistics that was presented here, in terms of the numbers that we're receiving, that's on page 4, where the majority of the visitors comes from Europe. You know. Now, if we abandon that, can I say, tourists that's not involved in the whole sports mega event scene, aren't we actually losing out? Because that was a reality in Germany. Eventually, a month before the Soccer World Cup in Germany, the hotels had to go out and fill their rooms a much lower rate because the ordinary tourists didn't arrive. You know? Because everybody was thinking, no, here's a big thing coming, the World Cup will be hosted in Germany, so let's block out these rooms, you know. So the question that I want, and the point I want to make is, isn't, in essence, at the end of the day, the World Cup more detrimental than beneficial? And that's a critical question, and it's a difficult question to answer. I mean, you will tell me about all the infrastructure development and everything, but coming from that province, that really need this tourism injection. I'm asking this question to say, what can we do to have that turnaround strategy? The question that I've got is, how do you qualify as a tourism ambassador? What is the process? Yeah. And then the next issue is the one about the potential of tourism. In each province, and I can only speak on behalf of the Northern Cape, there's a very strong drive to have a provincial growth and development strategy. And in our province, there's two elements to that. There's two legs. It's mining and it's tourism. Are the department part of those developments of the provincial growth and development strategy, the PGGS? And I assume that many of the medium-term strategic framework objectives on a national level will also filter down to that. So the question is, the third question is the department's part of, or your department part of those provincial growth and development strategies? Sorry, Chair, I just had another one. Yes, the fourth issue is with this unbundling of your old department, new legislation needs to get in place. What is the impact? What do you want to achieve with that legislation? Thank you.
Any other member?
one reason, honorable.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to link up with Honorable Sinclair, that presentation that he was talking about, what good does the World Cup bring? You know, one must look at it in two ways. Your marketing you have to do anyway, but if you bring an event, you gain by it because it's a certain hype that goes with it. But Gary Bailey did a presentation on the World Cup at the time when FIFA started with their presentations. And I attended a businesswoman's function in Port Elizabeth. And there, the question was asked, according to the German statistics, what business gained the most out of the German World Cup? Other than the German image that they were grumpy old people and so on and so on, and that they managed to change that image around. The only business that made money out of the German World Cup, not hotels, not airlines, not pubs, not restaurants, not street vendors, it was the insurance business. So we must not forget that. And we mustn't falsely say tourism is going to make, or the hospitality industry is going to make money out of it. The experience of the German World Cup versus FIFA and Match trying to sign up Betia is a clear indication of what they are prescribing in their bids or in their contracts. The intergovernmental relationships in tourism is to me very important. National tourism and what they see for the future is in line with the provinces and in line with local government, because local government is not spending money on tourism, and this horrifies me. And I don't know how we're going to get a culture that local government, and I'm not talking about big cities, I'm talking about Neisner that's got 4 million on their tourism budget or 6 million versus Kocha, which is two municipalities away, and they spend 250,000, and it's an economically strong municipality. That's the other one. And then we're talking here about the three most visited provinces, which is Gauteng, Cape Town, and Durban. Those are the three provinces with international airports. Now, am I correct? That's where the foreign tourists land. Now, mustn't we look at the Department of Transport and say, they can hardly cope anyway with what they are getting. Can't we open up our international airports? Because then we immediately bring in Polokwane, Bloemfontein, Kimberley, and Port Elizabeth and East London, and, you know, that opens it up quite a bit already. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Well, I would like to talk about it. On your presentation, on slide number 3, on this slide here, we talk about the tourism role player. In my view, I think we need to bring the Home Affairs and SARS on board as well. Okay. The reason why I'm saying so, you know, I like to share the experience with everyone here. I think often, because I'm a Chinese, so they often see me as like a visitor, you know, as I'm traveling overseas. And, you know, I mean, there's so many times, you know, when I arrive at the international airport, and I get greeting and they say to they always ask me, my friend, what have you bought for me from overseas? You know, and it's really, I think, like we just now saying, so every single visitor, you know, to our country, they are our future ambassador. So at that first moment, you know, the impression which you create to our country, I think that's quite very important. Yeah. That day, you know? So therefore, that's why I think the Home Affairs and SARS and all that, they need to come on the board and then to have a proper oversight, you know, on those of corruption or whatever that we're saying. So that's okay. So, and then let's come to, and then we're talking about the reduction of the visa turnaround time. Okay, that's supposed to be the home of this responsibility or the international relations. That's something which I like to clear out on that. And then the last one, which is on our priority, you know, for 2009, the fight against crime and corruption, the children's safety awareness and victim support. I wonder, do we have some kind of program which have this pre-arrival, before the visitor arrived the country? You know, I mean, do they have some kind of the booklet or some awareness program, which has been done before they arrive here? I think that would be much better than when they arrive here, if something happened and we're trying to speak them on that day. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Honorable Chen. I thought to say, when you greet people that come, say, Uchi, because there's that advert. I'm not sure whether I should give it back to you because I have a list of questions, if not a booklet. I thought some members tried taking some of the questions. But maybe I must ask a few questions. And one comment is that I didn't hear any emphasis on people with disabilities with regards to tourism, whether accommodation, whether skills, whether skills development. There was nothing that I had. That's the first thing as a comment. Secondly, there is on page 16, there was a mention of a social reasonability program. Now, that's how it's written. Now I ask myself, why change from responsibility? Because it's written reasonability. So it ends on the part that now this is reasonable as far as that's page 16, one of them. Funding. Still on the access, on page 11, we're talking about access in the presentation. You know, as a country, South Africa, we're battling with this issue of disability. Even the United Nations is supposed to host an international conference on disability. But there's no accommodation in all the countries. And we seem not to be taking this thing seriously. And we want to have a look at what happened even in Germany, Korea, about accommodation, transport for people with disabilities. So this issue of accessibility, not only confined to people with disabilities, it has senior citizens. Very soon we'll be visiting the stadia just to check how accessible they are. That kind. And plus minus how many people with disabilities are we, expecting. You know, we should be having a figure. You know, if it's 1,000, it's 1,000, and where can we help them? I'm trying to cut here. Page 7, it was reported that they are the main players in the tourism sector. Say maybe 10% or 10 to 90. And then the 90 is family and small. But just be open, who are these main players? You're supposed to know because they need to transform. Who are they after 2005, after the BE Charter? We need to implement. We need to know these main players. The other issue is about the land market issue on page 6 on the presentation. I wanted to reconcile it with land restitution. You know, most of the places, more especially here in the Western Cape, they are foreign owned. So in future, we'll have a country, we'll be South African without a country. That's the reality. You go to KZN, you go to Western Cape, all these wine farms, German, Scottish, owned. So we have a country without a country. How do we really monitor that? You know, how there's the issue of land restitution. We need land for settlement of people. One of us who monitors the charter. There's this issue about finance. How do you really assist the HDI? There's this motto that it is here on paper. What is on paper is really not on the ground. We can say that we assist these people, small businesses, but how? Can we get someone now and say, go to tourism, there's this thing, you'll get funding, you will, that person will get it. It's very difficult for our people, if we are honest. In my province, I was saying to DTI, if I didn't come back to parliament, I was going to be a very bitter person. Because I've been in parliament and in my own area where I stay, I've served with DTI. There isn't even a single thing that I can point out that, you know, because of me being in that community, I've assisted communities in this thing. You try your best, but it ends there in trying. So how are we going as tourism? More especially, we are going to be hard on the Department of Tourism. So one of them that is least transformed. Yesterday I read in the paper about permits for boat-based activities. It was in the paper, it was in the internet. And they list all our areas here. There's my area here, there's Richards Bay, Devon, St. Lucia, Sotwana, those are from KZN. But all these people that are going to get these permits, I can guarantee you now, not one of them will be black. And how do we turn that around? This, I want this committee to engage the minister and even the deputy minister about such things. So it's all over, even in the Eastern Cape. In the Western Cape, all these areas are mentioned here. But how do we transform that? There's whale watching, there's shark watching, and there's these cars that take tourists. How many black people do we have there? That is what we call transformation. That is what we call change. If you want to see change, this is what we must see. Now, if on paper we get, we're going to develop business by developing the existing business. We're not transforming the business. So I'll leave these questions. I'll ask them in the second round. Even about the business development fund, as other members have asked, would want a breakdown. You have heard so many in the Northwest, KZN, that is what we want. And we point out to the area that these are the business people that we have helped in KZN, in Devon, in Umlazi, so that when I go there, when we go there as a committee, we can monitor that really there is change. The rest I'll leave, I'll let you to answer these questions. But there's something interesting even about the cruise liner. But we'll ask that the next round. Acting DG, we can respond.
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps just for the Northern Cape, at least a tourism month will take place in Northern Cape in the next 2 months. So we are bringing something to the Northern Cape.
I think you would need to respond to this one. I'm sure some members have asked this thing. The issue about the rural development areas. There we want specifics. One member even asked about our own traditional food, about our matumbes, about our matumbus. With the Confederation Cup, nothing was sold. No African food was sold. How do we have an African Cup without an African culture? I mean, you stand our ground as tourists. This is an African Cup, South African Cup. Then we want everything South African and African, mostly because it's ours. If you could dwell on the rural issue, whether on skills or on what have you, the issue should be rural.
Thank you, Chair. I think the first thing that we totally agree with, a lot of the comments has been made, and is in relation to the FIFA and the FIFA agreements. FIFA and the whole concept is done under the umbrella of the Department of Sport. So from whether we're from the environment or tourism, we had our internal discussions around a lot of the issues, like the food, like the African culture into our stadium, and the agreements that has been written, and it's quite tight of which government has signed those things. So I think a lot of these questions need to be posed to that specific department. We, from the Department of Tourism side, we are part of the local organizing committee and the legacy committee, where we are making sure or try to sort of emphasize the value of the tourism and how we deal with some of the things. So some of those issues under the Confederation Cup that has been mentioned by the members is some of those issues that has been picked up by the department. And just to sort of state up front is that the minister and the deputy minister have already met with the organizing committee, Danny O'Don, and FIFA around some of these issues. We've also met with the South African Airways and APSA around the issues that we've experienced around the flow of tourists, the manner they've been treated at the airports, the limited flights that's going to certain areas, because during the Lions tour, you could not fly to Durban. And the MIMTEC meeting and MIPTEC meeting, MIMTEC is the where the minister and the MECs meet, and MIPTEC is where the heads of the department, CEOs and the officials and the DG meet. This is on the agenda. We've had SAA there to come and tell us specifically why are they only flying to certain areas. But they are defined in accordance with the Public Enterprises Department as a commercial airline. So they're not, although they're the local carrier of South Africa, they are commercially orientated. And I think the question that was raised here around why they're not flying to Kimberley or why they're not flying to Polokwane was the issue that was also raised there. So I think that is all issues that's under discussion, and I think that the vibe that I've got from this committee is we can be having a good alliance in sort of driving some of these processes, because it's in the hands of other departments. SAA is part of DPE, the tourism or the transport is part of Department of Transport. The whole FIFA event is under the auspices of the Minister of Sport. So I think that's just the realities, and we are trying to sort of fit ourselves into that sort of area. I just want to sort of revert to that. Then as far as rural development is concerned, and I also asked Ntiswa to sort of go into the specifics, is that in our new establishment for the department, rural development will become a specific directorate where we will have to drive the rural development and the tourism in the rural areas. And the alignment of that to our social responsibility program, my apologies, Chair, that we've got a typing mistake. I used to say we allow some mistakes in here to see whether everybody has read it, but thank you very much. So I think rural development will be high on the profile, and it's something that we've had a lot of debates already with our deputy minister, making sure how we're going to deal with taking tourists to the rural areas, because most of the tourists are getting to the bigger cities and most probably the big three provinces, and there's a whole issue strategy going on at this stage of how we're going to deal with those issues. What I would like to suggest then also is that if Lisa can deal with the questions about the enterprises, the SMEs, and the training. Viola, if you can specifically deal with the issues that was raised in conjunction with the BEE, how we determine those questions. Then, Chair, in some of the instances, we might not have all the information here, but I can promise you that we will list from this and we will make that available. I see Victor has asked for his laptop because that information is available, and I think it's quite relevant that we can sort of break it down and even get that information from the provinces. So, I mean, in some of that, Sandiswa can respond, but I think it might be good for us to sort of do a table where we give you those specific information around the provinces so that I think it's to your availability. So let me ask Lisa first, then Beulah, and then if Sandiswa can respond, and then we will make a check just to see whether we can respond to all of that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. I'm going to respond to the questions on enterprise development in relation to provinces. The Tourism Enterprise Partnership is a national SMME support organization, but we also have provincial footprints. We have provincial offices in all of the provinces. The way we spend our time and the way we spend our money in all of the provinces is in relation to provincial tourism contribution to GDP. And I don't have the exact numbers, but for example, if in the Western Cape tourism's contribution to GDP is 16%, then we would spend 16% of our time and 16% of our budget in the Western Cape. We also have, the way we break down our targets would also then be in relation to the tourism's contribution to GDP. So for example, in the Eastern Cape, if tourism's contribution to GDP is 8% or 10%, 10% of our targets would then be related to the Eastern Cape. So that's how we work at how we spend our time and our money in the different provinces. We also have an increased focus on rural development.
Sure, can I just?
If you don't mind, just do a follow-up just there. Whoever is responding. Okay, Honourable. Good.
Yeah, Chair, they're talking of three cities that are basically visited, or many visited, and yet we know that those cities, they are capable to attract more tourists, as such there'll be more money, you know, from tourism. Now, how do you develop poor areas by using commensurate, which if your budget is commensurate to the income that they're making? How can they expect Northern Cape to be developed if you give them 4% of your budget, if they're only contributing 4% to your budget, and you want to develop them with such little money? Can it be vice versa? You spend 16% in Northern Cape, you spend 4% in Gauteng, because anyway, the view will be going there.
Thank you. Chair, we focus on businesses that exist, and we aim to get them sustainable, because we believe that transformation is not only top-down, but it's also bottom-up. So the way to break monopolies is also to create strong small businesses at the bottom of the pyramid. So we focus a lot of our time on those businesses that actually exist and trying to get them sustainable and trying to get them market access. We could spend our time on businesses that don't exist yet, and for example, the startups. But we know that the ones that exist and the ones we can get to sustainability are the ones that can we can get into the value chain, and are the ones that create jobs. TEP also has a limited budget, so we need to decide how we spend our time and how we can create the most value as well. Chair, if I could move on to the next question on training, how we measure our success rate. We've moved away from an ad hoc approach to training small businesses and a hit and run approach to training small businesses. So we have a graduation model. What we do at the start, we identify the tourism small businesses that we can assist. We put them through a segmentation exercise where we see which businesses fit into which training interventions. So, for example, at the bottom of a graduation model, we do SA host training and we do toolkits. From there, they move on to something that's called business skills training. From there, they move on to mentorship. From there, they move on to our cluster program. And from there, they move on to something that's called the management development program. So we don't train them and leave them. Some people will fall out along the way. I think we accept that. We know that small businesses, on average, survive about 2 years. So we know that some people will fall out along the way. But the others, we graduate through a focused program. And all in all, we assist about 5,000 tourism small businesses through our training program. Thank you.
I think that Sandiswa can also add on some of those issues later, Bella.
Thank you, Chair. The questions around transformation, the list of the big players. Essentially, what the study indicated is that the majority of your big players are essentially transformed. They have the resources and the capacity to implement transformation. It is your smaller, medium-sized businesses that where the struggle is in getting them to transform. But if you look at who is transformed when we're talking big players, you're talking your Southern Sons, you're talking your Piemonts, your Frontier Hotels. Those are the big players. For example, since the gazetting of the tourism scorecard, Piemont has now embarked on a verification process using the gazetted tourism scorecard, where previously they had done it using the generic DTI scorecard. So you can see that with the large businesses, there's very little prompting that's needed to get them to do what is required by law. As I indicated, they have the resources to do it. But when you start looking at your medium-sized businesses, that tend to be family-owned, owner-managed. That's where the challenge comes in, where we really need to popularize the chart and help them understand exactly what the scorecard requires of them. For example, they're not required to comply to the full 7 elements of the scorecard. They have been provided with a modern-day scorecard where they don't necessarily have to give up ownership or management control of their businesses for them to transform. There are other elements that they can focus on. And tourism as a sector has actually designed their scorecard in the first 5 years to focus on human development elements at addressing the gaps in the industry, which talks to your skills development, enterprise development, management control, and preferential procurement. And so what we do is encourage them to focus on those human development elements so that we can start seeing skills being improved, or obviously then improving professionalism in the industry as well, which benefits the industry at the ultimate end. There was also a question asked on preferential procurement and SMEs. I think the issue of the PPPA and BBBE, we need to understand where did they actually conflict. There's two areas. Firstly, your PPPA, the portion of it that measures BE, it's still based on narrow-based BE, which only looks at ownership, doesn't look at broad-based BE. So someone can tender, and the only thing that they have is BE on ownership. They will be considered. And another person comes in, and they've done all 7 elements. They've done skills development, CSI, preferential procurement, enterprise development, and that will not really matter. The only part of it that will matter is ownership. And if they have done all other 6 but have not done ownership, they would not qualify for those BE points. That's number one. Then, secondly, the issue that you have your 80-20 or the 90-10, where 90% functionality, 10% price, or 80% functionality and 20% price. So essentially, price, at the end of the day, is what determines whether a company gets the business or not, and not empowerment. And with those two issues not yet aligned, it's become a big problem. The Act itself says once a sector charter is promulgated, given the same legal status as your code of good practice, public sector and all its entities are binded by that. And what that translates to is that when concessions are issued for open safari vehicles in parks, broad-based BEE must be applied. When it comes to issuing of licenses, preferential procurement, sale of state assets that relate to tourism, but in the bigger scheme of things, sale of assets, public assets, your license concessions, preferential procurement, all those areas of government would need to be taken through the process of broad-based black economic empowerment. But so long as the two acts are not aligned, that will not happen. Hence, the issue that you raised, that the permits that are being issued, you are almost certain that it will be white companies that get them. And if you look at the criteria that would have been followed, it would comply with what is required, because the PPPA is not aligned to BBBE. But with the process, the DTI and National Treasury, who are the lead departments of this, have been in discussion. There are interim measurements that have been put in place. However, these have not been finalized because there are a few areas where there are disagreements between the two departments. But that process needs to be fast-tracked, because so long as it's not fast-tracked, it actually robs us of the time that we need to implement BBBE. It has a 10-year span, ending 2017. We've already lost 3 years where we stand. And I think my plea to the committee is that when you are sitting in your structures, this is one of the things that need to be highlighted, that the two departments need to finalize that alignment to ensure that we start implementing broad-based BE vigorously.
Thank you. In terms of, of the question that was related to provinces, I think as we sit here, we, in order to for us to improve the situation, we have to be honest. It is a cause for concern to us that we're seeing the numbers that we're seeing, but they're not contributing, they're not shared. Like when I presented, I said tourism has grown, but the reality of the matter is the fact that it has not been shared by all provinces of South Africa. It's a problem statement that as a Department of Tourism we're concerned about, and then we need to work very hard to address that, because it is a cause for concern to have a situation whereby you're getting a number of people but they're not spread accordingly. And then to address that, we are trying to, through the tourism sector strategy, to develop a strategy of saying, looking at campaigns like 365 reasons to visit South Africa, because we often view, we haven't done much to showcase what we have to offer. I personally went to the Northern Cape. I saw that it's the most beautiful province of South Africa when I went there. But it is last on the list. It is number 9. It's the less visited, and that can be attributed to access. You miss one flight to Northern Cape, then you're not going to go to your meeting. That's the reality. So there are so many challenges related to the fact that why are the other provinces not visited. So we are, through the sector strategy, working towards ensuring that we begin to package the unique attributes of each and every area so that we do not focus on the dominant attractions as it used to be. I know the Table Mountain is known, Robben Island, etc. So when people come to South Africa, they know about those issues, but there's a lot that we can do to attract more people to our country. So with a tourism sector strategy, with all eyes looking on us as the Department of Tourism, we should work tirelessly, very hard with provinces to ensure that we address that, because it's actually declining. It used to be 3, and then it's now going to 1.3 provinces. Instead of 3 out of 9, it's 1.3. That's the reality that you cannot run away from, which means that we need to work harder to ensure that we address that, because each and every corner of South Africa has something that has to offer, and we need to ensure that it's properly packaged and it's taken to the market. And that will take not only the national department, it will take us working closely with provinces, with local government, to package those and take them there. And then with the development of the sector strategy, it's one of the main issues that we're going to be working on. What is top on the list is Gauteng, because most of people come to Gauteng, because the major airport is in Gauteng. And then the second one on the list is KZN. And the third one is Western Cape. And the members already answered the fact that those are the provinces with airports. So what do we do then to ensure that people are able to go beyond that? We need to be improving domestic tourism. It doesn't help to go to, if you go to Upington, there's only one flight to Upington. It's a 28-seater. And how many people can you take there? So there are so many problems that are not going to be solved by us, but it's also when we engage and also give compelling reasons why people should go there, because even airlines, they can only invest in a route when there is a compelling reason for people to go there. So it takes two. So we need to work very hard, and we are honest that it's a challenge that we will have to address moving forward, because it is not on for a country as beautiful as ours to have a situation that we're having. So we take that as the biggest challenge that we're going to take moving forward to address that, and we promise to give feedback whether are we winning the battle or not. And then the other question was around the second economy, which are those provinces. The provinces that we selected are KZN and Eastern Cape. There was the question, which are those for the tourism second economy. So it's Eastern Cape, because we were piloting the second tourism second economy strategy. So we selected those two so that we can use them as learnings. And the reason why we selected those two, we've got in the Eastern Cape, I believe that it's South Africa's best kept secret. But on the list, Eastern Cape, I think it's number 5. But you've got the Wild Coast area, which is the most beautiful eco-coast destination in the world, not just in South Africa. That area is so beautiful, but not much has been done to really untap the potential of that area. So we decided to choose that particular area.
in KZN, you've got an area such as St. Lucia. It's a World Heritage Site. It's so beautiful, those turtles, that beauty there. But you still find that there isn't much that is happening there for that beautiful part. So we wanted to just focus on those two and see what we can learn from there. So those are the two on that one. And the other one, in terms of why work with MET, unfortunately, the MET is the company that is appointed by FIFA, and they're the only company that is accredited to sell accommodation. We cannot sell work with any others, but as a destination in South Africa, because our role is not to sell 2010. We can continue to sell to whoever who wants to buy. And that is why we're not concerned about the figures that have been contracted to MET, because that's their problem. Because we know the only concern, MET is concerned about teams, they're concerned about sponsors, and they're concerned about FIFA officials. They're not concerned about the 450,000 fans that will be coming to South Africa. As a destination South Africa, we should be selling accommodation, and it is for this reason as a country that we're putting together an accommodation portal that will make it available to people coming so that they can access information, not just from MET, but from South Africa. So that's the reason why we are. And then what is our contribution to 500,000 jobs? We've already indicated how many jobs are created by the sector. We're currently sitting at more than 1 million. But in terms of global standards, 8 tourists create 1 additional job. But in South Africa, we're sitting with a situation whereby we are far below in terms of that. In South Africa, we're sitting at a whereby 12 tourists create 1 job. So if we grow the number of visitors coming to South Africa, then we as a sector can be in a position to contribute to the 500 million jobs that have been promoted, because it's known that if you attract more people to the area, then more jobs will be created. So currently we're sitting at 12 is to 1, but we want to move to the global figure, which is 8 is to 1. So that's our contribution, but also through TEP, then an SRPP, social responsibility program, the jobs that are being created there. And then we can maybe focus on the only presentation that focuses on that. And then ambassadors being from Gauteng, ambassadors that were trained for the Confederation Cup were from the 4 host cities that hosted the Confederation Cup. They were not only from Gauteng, as far as I know. And we were involved in the training, and we focused on training around know your city, know your country. They were from 4. Maybe, I'm not sure what happened in that particular instance where people from Gauteng were used in another area, but we know for sure that there were numbers per host city, and we went to different host cities to ensure the training was in that particular city. And that was for the Confederations Cup. But moving forward for the FIFA World Cup, for the Confederation Cup, we had 4,000, but for the FIFA World Cup, it's going to be 15,000. And another question was, what is the criteria? You have to be 18 years of age, and you have to be available, you have to be able to converse in languages, and then there's a criteria that is available on the FIFA website, and we work with them in terms of getting involved. So we can make that information available to members in terms of what is the criteria, because there is a drive at this point in time to get people to participate. And then on the issue of water sold from South Africa, I think the SCDC indicated the fact that at the end of the day, it's the FIFA World Cup in South Africa. And I think as a country, if you can be honest, we gave too much because we were desperate for the event, if you can be honest. We gave too much in terms of saying, no, we'll give it. Even McDonald's is a sponsor for food, so you cannot buy Chitanyama because McDonald's is going to, because they're paying money to sponsor that. You can't buy South African beer there because an American company is a sponsor, so you can only drink there. So those are things that are beyond ours, but when we won the event, we said we were going to do and we were going to respect their rules. So it's FIFA rules, but there's nothing stopping us from being creative but not using FIFA logo and 2010 to make sure that people benefit from the process. And there's nothing stopping small town from bringing people together, have Shisanyama, inviting visitors to come and enjoy. So we will be working with local government to ensure that we create those innovative ways of ensuring that we still showcase the local culture. But the reality of the matter, same situation happened in Germany. It's a FIFA World Cup in South Africa. It's not vice versa. So you play by their rules. If you say, if you sign, then that's That's it. And then in terms of being detrimental to tourism this World Cup, I think what we've done on in terms of, we understand that sometimes people might avoid a destination because there is an event. That is why, as part of our strategy, we're looking at displacement. How do we manage displacement? People will say, I'm not going to go to South Africa because it's going to be too busy. We're saying we've got such a beautiful country. Not all games will be played all over. We've got beautiful parks. We've got beautiful areas that are so quiet and tranquil. So the message that is standing out there is that come to South Africa. If you're not interested in soccer, we've got transfrontier parks. We've got parks out there. We've got so much to do that will... You're not going to be part of the council. We've got a strategy to manage displacement. And then what do we want to achieve on legislation? I think what we want to achieve on legislation is just to create an enabling environment for tourism to happen in areas. Because currently we've got a legislation that only talks about what should be the role of South African tourism. But if we have to address the challenges that we have, we need to be using legislation to ensure, to understand the product that we have in our country. One of the areas that we want to integrate into the new legislation is the mandatory registration of tourism businesses, so that as a Department of Tourism, we begin to understand what is the supply out there in terms of products and services, so that we can begin to say, this is what South Africa has to offer. So it's basically trying to look at those small things that we can't do if we don't have appropriate legislation in place. And then the issue of accessibility. This year, Honorable Chair, we're having a national tourism conference on the 30th of October, and the theme for the conference is service excellence and accessible tourism, because we want to really understand what is it that we can do as a country to ensure that we open up to that market. We've done a research, there's huge numbers. Disability doesn't mean physical, pregnant people, aged, so many people. So how do we equip the industry to service that kind of a market that is growing so hard? So we will be deliberating, but and we also appointed somebody, the person who's responsible for responsible tourism. Responsible tourism includes issues of disability. It includes the issues of responsible to the environment, social and economic. So it's all encompassing, and there's somebody driving that, because we have the view that when we were a branch, we didn't do much in terms of looking into that issue. And then, in terms of rural development, yeah, what are we doing? Like, I think the acting DG indicated the fact that we will have somebody to deal with that matter, but what we're also doing is that we are in a process of appointing a service provider to develop a culture, social, and social history and heritage tourism strategy for South Africa. And we also view that once we have that in place, then we will be able to tap into the soul of the country. We will be able to integrate issues that make us unique. And we hope once we've appointed the person to develop the strategy, then we will engage the committee on the finalization of the strategy, because we have the view that transformation will only happen when more people participate in the industry. And they cannot just participate because of just the charter in terms of numbers. They will participate because they've got products to sell. And we also view that that's something is going to unlock potential for so many areas moving forward. Thank you.
While she's still there, before you answer, the service provider to be appointed, is it in brackets, a consultant?
We also, the service provider will be somebody who will, because we cannot develop that strategy without engaging the players on the ground. So we want to talk to the musicians. We want to promote linkage between tourism and the creative industry. And creative industry includes so many things. So somebody will have to help us to coordinate it, which will be a service provider. It's going to be a service provider. Service provider
a consultant.
Yes, it's a consultant. But we will have...
Just to add, I think that for developing those less visited provinces, one needs to sort of look, and I think that's one of the strategies that we're looking in now, is that what is the product that's available there? Because you need to market something. There are in each of these provinces tourism entities managed under the provincial department, and we are working closely with them on this the domestic tourism strategy to make sure that we build in their requirements. But you need to have a product, if I can sort of use an example now, wearing the green hat from the environment side, is that we are investing some money now in the Northern Cape in upgrading their provincial parks, because it's next thing into. There's no accommodation in those parks. But at the same time, we're using SRPP money, social responsibility, by creating job sustainability, that type of issue. So in the case of the Wild Coast, we've tried hard to establish a national protected area there. But due to the politics and the land claims, there was no movement around those things, because you need to have some product that people want to go there if you want to sort of capture the market. And then I think the big issue is the accessibility. Just on the question around what is unforeseen, unavoidable, we know that the fiscal cliff is going to be quite tough to sort of get additional money. At this stage, we've got an estimate of 8 million rand to develop a portal and a call center. That's one of the biggest things that has come out of the Confederation Cup, is that in South Africa, we haven't had a central entry point, and that needs to be sort of established. So if in that case, the estimates of developing that before the Confederation Cup or from before the World Cup, but also for future use to have a single entry point, is about 8 million. And then the estimate for the creation of the department, ministries, personnel, new director general posts, the splitting of your IT accountability issues, finances, you need to split. And you basically need to duplicate some of those systems that are against the Public Finance Management Act, the same with the Public Service Act, is estimated at about 4 million. So what we are at this stage, the indications that have been submitted is about 12 million for tourism. The rest we will have to try and find by redirecting or reprioritizing between the two departments, environment and tourism, to see. And we are also entering into agreements with the mother department, the environment, to maintain certain services, like your security services, like your front desks, those things, because we're in the same building, to sort of have a cost saving around those issues. Just on the legislation, I think this is very important that when we get it into the NCOP and into this committee, that we need to make sure that the new legislation cater for tourism, that we need to make sure that that legislation empowers a lot of those things that falls outside the present mandate in the legislation. And I think one of the issues is like DTI. They've got a tourism component. So has other departments, and therefore we need to make sure that this legislation talks to other issues so that we strengthen the mandate of government to comply and enforce certain principles that we would like to sort of get out there. Thank you, Chair. I hope we've answered all of the questions. If not, we can be reminded. Thanks.
Follow-up questions? So I put out my Honourable Van Lingen, Honourable Looney. Honourable Van Lingen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm so glad that Acting Director is talking about the green hat and defending some areas. I live in St. Francis area, and they're putting up a nuclear plant. Can you stop that, please? Because it's beautiful. It's a moving dune system. We've got coal emissions, and we're going to have a nuclear plant by the looks of it. Seriously, on page 26, we're talking about events and attractions. And then on page 34, we're talking about 2010 events. My concern is just, I understood on page 26 that we're talking about other events around the host cities. Now, if that is happening, the World Cup is 9 months away, or how many months away? So that means those events must all be listed and planned. So maybe we need some insight there of what is going to happen where, because now is the time to try and make sure that whatever is scheduled for our areas in our provinces are on a par. And that is, I don't know whether you agree with me, Mr. Chair, but it's a provincial issue that we have to follow up. And then legislation, the clashing. I understand that. And I happen to be in the, I have a bed and breakfast. And I have declared it, Mr. Chair. And the issue there is, what do we do? Because there's so many people, like me, using my private home as a bed and breakfast. And I am graded, I'm part of the AA Travel Guide, you name it, we have done through the municipality everything. But now, the figures that the young lady is quoting are those figures the graded good people that have registered with the Tourism Grading Council, or have you included the squatters? Because suddenly, in the last 3 months, the two self-catering units or houses have been converted into self-catering units in my street, and that is a problem. And that, oof,
I can do without it.
Maybe it's because I get so worked up. Now, maybe this is another issue because those establishments don't even work through the local municipalities. This is where I'm talking through the flow of what tourism sees at the top to the province, to the local government. Local government doesn't care about tourism. They don't care about the squatters. They don't care. Let me tell you another thing about the legislation that's not in place. With the national liquor license and I think provincial liquor license, we're now not allowed to have liquor in bar fridges in the bedrooms. We are now supposed to have it in a bar, which we have to man ordinary bar hours and lock it up afterwards. And then, but now in a bed and breakfast, you don't really need that, so you must either go without liquor or you must go like a Sabine. And at the moment, I'm very close to a Sabine queen, Mr. Chair. The problem is the Tourism Grading Council and Portfolio require that we have mini bars in our rooms that are stocked. So that is a problem, and it's legislation not talking to one another. And I do not believe that your bed and breakfast and guest house accommodation should be in a clashing situation with legislation when it comes to our grading. So maybe you would look at that as well, please.
Honorable Rune, Honorable May, and after that.
Thanks, I appreciate the second take. I'm still not convinced, Chairperson, about the commercial spending of the department as far as the enterprise development is concerned on the developed province or the province that attract more tourists and spend more money on them as far as the enterprise development is concerned. Those that generate less, then you spend less on them. How then do you intend or do you foresee them, attracting more tourists if there's no minimal expenditure? I'm still not convinced of that the model you're using. My second point is still on Preferential Procurement Procurement Act. The department says it procures about $3.2 billion on procurement. And then of that $3.2 billion, how much of that goes to small SMEs or HDIs? And then on niche tourism, what's the possibility of these other six provinces being targeted for niche tourism? I know places like Free State, places like Northern Cape, or you've got historical sites that could be taught. Why don't you perhaps concentrate on those endowments of those provinces in order for them to be also economically viable? And my fourth point, Chairperson, is on coordination of departments. How far do you coordinate with other departments, like economic planning, mining, when you do your strategy, so that economic development it's actually not concentrated on the three provinces, but it's, you know, countrywide, so that even people in rural areas, in a way, they do get benefits of the economic development. It's not a trickle-down situation, you know. And on a lighter note, perhaps there could be DDG when he finished. We clear the table, she shows us what the, what is this guy.
Thank you, sir. You know, my input relates to the hype that Dr. Kosa is not feeling. I think I would agree with him and marketing. But how do we feel the hype when, in my view, in as much as we want to market South Africa outside, we don't use what we have local. I think a person in Botswana and Gaborone would be able to tell me, to tell a person better in Taung, in Marseille, about the World Cup, because we don't use our local radios and TVs and so forth to promote the event. So I think it's something that we must try to look at, using our local radios and TVs, because we in Taung listen to Avalta FM, in Kimberley we listen to Temani and all of that, because those are our kids who are presenting, and we want to give them the necessary audience so that radio stations are not shut off. So I think we should be, it should be something that we do. On a lighter note, as well, Chair, just a follow up on the issue of the service provider. I think the government has said, the president has said that we should minimize, because I don't understand if you have people. Why do you have you in your office? Why do we employ people who cannot perform particular tasks? Why do we have that? Then we should shut down, or everybody must leave and get people who will be able to do the work. Because we have said, and I think I'm happy that in Gauteng, the premier is moving very fast in terms of ensuring that, not for Gauteng, but you listen that she's doing away with this service provider thing. Because money that should be spent to develop people of South Africa, are spent giving to brothers and sisters so that we benefit. Now, don't we have the necessary capacity internally to do that? You know, just lastly, Chair, I like President Zuma very much, because, you know, he said to people of South Africa, if I don't perform, get rid of me. No? I think it should be an attitude of all of us, that if I can't perform, then get rid of me. You know, I'm not being funny. The presentation is so nice. That's my last comment, Chair. I don't think I'll really... The presentation is so nice, as you said, in paper. But calm implementation, because I used to be a civil servant. Now I know how can we internally make sure that things don't go well. I used to work for government department. No, I got rid of myself. Now, because I could now. now I think but I would like to see the rural development strategy as they are coming up. We have said, and the president has said, the head of state, that we are going to focus more of our energies in rural development. I've asked the question, how are we going to benefit in rural areas? You have not responded to, but I would want to see your rural development strategy, not only in paper and in action. We will really be, as an activist parliament, displaying an oversight to ensure that at least people in Kanda, in Mateng, and within Suleja are able to say, we know this department and all of that. If you can't, then really, something must be done, Chairperson. I think we will see. The presenter is very good, the lady here. She is very good articulated. I used to have colleagues like that. But practice is something that we have not seen. So I think they will assist them. We'll see them again in future. Thanks, sir.
Honourable Sinclair. I think we must acknowledge that the biggest event that South Africa will ever host will be in our generation. And maybe after 1994 will be this 2010 Soccer World Cup. But there will also be a year after that. You know, and we're focusing rightly now on 2010 and the benefits and planning and whatever. My assumption would be that the legacy of the 2010, the legacy of 2010 will also have a lot to do with the issue about how do we develop our own internal tourism market. You know, and our people, we're forever trying to close the gap between the rich and the poor, and I hope that one day we'll get there. But people first need to explore their own environment before they explore overseas markets and so on. And I think the short left campaign was a very good one in terms of focusing on that internal tourism. But now, the element that I think that's lacking is the accessibility of our country. You know, government year in and year out must subsidize SAA. But I don't understand why an aeroplane ticket from Kimberley to Upington, from Cape Town to Upington, or from Cape Town to Kimberley, must cost more than from Cape Town to Dubai. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. Or from Cape Town to Europe. SAA sometimes fly for less than 5,000 rand, including tax, to Europe. But fly now from Cape Town to Kimberley, it will cost you 4,000 rand. So the point that I want to make is that we must look collectively as government at this. And we must take a deliberate decision to say, yes, the big three, the Cape Town or the 1.3, as she indicated, is there. But we must take a deliberate attempt to market the areas that we know is marketable. And have a deliberate strategy to say, this year, we're going to market the potential of Northern Cape or KwaZulu-Natal and so on. Let me give an example. If I don't know China, but if I want to go and visit China, I explore the government's promotion material. And they give me an opportunity in the window to say, okay, go there. And certainly, I mean, Robben Island is nice, Cape Town is nice, everything is nice. But there must be, if I can put it in this context, tourism life after the Cape Towns and this and that and so on. So I think I know, and you know all these things because you get challenged through various role plays in terms of that. But the one thing is, in terms of accessibility, the international and local market, we need to work at that. The second issue that I want to raise, and that's the last one, what is the department's relationship with the South African National Parks, and what do you contribute? Or if you contribute anything, what do you contribute specifically in this financial year to SANPA? Thanks, Honourable Sinclair. I'm happy that Cindy Swamik mentioned of St. Lucia. And I've actually talked to the committee that I would like us to visit that area. 99.9999. White, at a certain stage, they attempted to put a boom gate when you enter St. Lucia, and it was stopped. And I've indicated to the committee that this is one area we need to visit, besides being the National Heritage Site, the issues of transformation, the issues of tourism. You know, ever since I became chair of this committee, I've made an effort to visit certain areas, just to understand. I've seen there that, you know, caravan parks are closed. closed beaches, they were closed, so the lives of the ordinary rural people just went down. So it's such things, but St. Lucia is an area, it's part of the domestic tourism. But I'm trying to use my arithmetic, yes, in this one, about 100,000, I think, rooms, versus visitors that we're expecting. Is it 450,000?
450,000.
And 100,000 rooms.
Graded.
Graded rooms. 100,000 graded rooms. And 450,000 expected tourists. What should I use there? My arithmetic or my mathematics? But where do we house then the 400,000? You know, I need that. I see quite a big number and so on. The issue about consultant has been dealt with by Honorable Mine. Please let us minimize the use. We'll also say so as a committee of consultants. Because there are people employed there to do the job. But we're going to have it tough if we're still going to continue with that. Northern Cape. You know, I look at these provinces that are not mostly visited. Everybody knows the Northern Cape as having a big hole. And I learned later that there are 3 holes in actual fact. Five holes. So it's an area. Now there's the Northwest, which is now rich in many things. There's Limpopo. And all these provinces are not in the priority. There's Mpumalanga. Can we have a rural strategy, a copy of your, whether it's going to be your draft? Because we'll concentrate on that in this committee, rural. Rural development, skilling on rural issues. I sit in a very hot chair, the chair. My constituency is a very tough constituency. My constituency is in Kandla, where the president sits. And that's where he wants to see. He makes it a point that when he's outside, he visits the constituency office and checks what has been happening on the area. And we've targeted tourism as one of them. There are quite a number of historical areas, sites, and whatever there. The other issue is, one, I think you need to put more emphasis on domestic tourism. You know, from Eastern Cape to Gauteng, KZN, we visit all other provinces, and we don't have such a booklet. Honorable Sinclair was correct. The short left was a good attempt, but nothing after that. Domestic tourism. I was invited to 2 years back to an event of deep sea fishing, and I realized that hey, South Africa has so much potential, but it's not explored. It's for a certain section. Such events, how do we educate communities about such things? Well, the grading has been mentioned, I won't go into that. But the tourism industry promotion has got 16 million, and the tourism industry development has plus minus 20 million. Are we going to achieve what we want to achieve with this, this amount? Looking at the provinces and with your budget. If you want to promote, you've got 16 million, and you've got major events that are coming. I'm sure in your request for funding, mostly should be geared towards that, development and promotion. I accept that match is contracted to FIFA and so on, but I want us to be biased towards rural communities, have a straight program to say, one tourist, have a booklet that would identify areas in all the provinces where tourists can go, whether domestic or international. Because once we don't have that, then we don't have a plan. I don't want to say what was said by the deputy chair of the NCOP, but if you don't have a plan, you plan to fail. So let's have that plan to show that we're interested in rural areas, in rural development. If there's no plan, which means no one has got an interest. There are a lot of heritage sites, more especially in KwaZulu-Natal. There's an issue about Shaka, about Nandi. There were even roads that were built. But nothing goes there in tourism. I've just driven along that road. Nothing. So we'll be sitting with the minister and the deputy ministers about these issues. We'll bring them from our own provinces because we represent provinces. And we've invited tourism departments from provinces, provincial departments, just to brief us on this, because tourism is the one, could be one of the best drivers of employment creation. It won't have so much effect about this recession. If you look at the areas in rural areas, employ all these guys and so on. But thanks very much for this presentation. And I'm sure we're still going to engage more. And you'll send us the documentation that will request all the breakdowns about provinces so that we are able to show when we go to our constituencies that this is being done and so on. And please do invite the committee wherever you have this. I didn't know about the Durban one that is coming now. Just inform us formally. Extend an invitation. Would like to go all over, not only South Africa, even in Africa, because it's a learning curve for us, just to understand. And Honorable Van Dingen, just on a lighter note, I'm sure your B&B should remain a B&B, because you want to have something to drink in the morning. It will only be breakfast. It should just be a bed and breakfast. But I'm sure when you go to the Eastern Cape, you'll see that B&B. Yeah, I'll pay a visit before the end of August. I'm sure, I don't want to highlight the issue of accessibility. I want to see it there when I come there. But Acting DG, thanks very much. We hope this department will stabilize. Next time we'll get an organogram of how this animal will look like, and that will fill up that organogram, and that all people that are acting won't be acting so that they take decisions, and that we move forward. But thanks very much. Is there a question that was not answered, Honorable Mguni?
They have not responded to the last round of questions, Chair.
Okay.
Chair, thank you very much. I want to start with St. Lucia. Just to say the Isimangaliso Wetlands Park. 8 land claims has been settled there. The ownership has resided into the communities. There's even agreements now where there are co-managing processes. So I think it's one of the success stories around the land claims issues. On the consultant, I think
Before you come, before you pass there, remember what I said. What is on paper is not on the ground. I've met those people. They're not happy. That's why the committee would go there.
Good. On the consultants, I think we honor that, because even from National Treasury side, and I mean, we are quite rigid around that. The issue at this stage, we've got 59 posts in the tourism component, and there's a lot of new challenges stemming from the medium-term strategic framework and from the government's promises, and therefore we need to run with some of these issues, and I think that's why we've opted for getting somebody for the rural development to help us with. So I just want to clarify that. I think it's something that I know that from the presidency downwards it's been pushed onto us to make sure it happens. The budget for the Tourism Enterprises Program, just to state that the Tourism Enterprises Program fits under the Business Trust, and that was one of the first things that the previous Minister of Finance has established, is that sort of system to sort of develop business. So a lot of the money the tourism enterprises is coming from external resources. For this financial year, we've earmarked 20 million, but we've asked for additional money in the outer years. In fact, 40 million and 45 million to support that program because it's a success story of dealing with that. Whether we will get the money from National Treasury, I think, is another issue. Then on the booklets, I've taken note around that, and I will also ask Adisha and her team to sort of obtain the information. I think we must just remember that, as she said, it's not a national competency only. So the provinces are developing a lot of that information. And I think we are trying to support them in that, but we will sort of make sure that we get that information and also pass it on to the committee to show what is being developed by their different entities in the provinces. The problem that you will face when you have a meeting with the provincial departments is that in all cases, tourism are linked to either economic or environment or another department. So it's a very small unit. I think in seven of the nine provinces, it's linked to the economic part, so which are dealing with the treasury part. And that is issues that concern them in driving tourism. And I think it's... the enterprises one, I think we've noted that. And I must say, I must agree with the honourable member around the criteria. But I think they base it, and perhaps it's something that TEP can come and present the whole program at one stage to the committee so that you can get insight in how they are dealing with that. Sandiso, I don't know whether you want to answer any specific questions. I think we've got a lot of information from you that we will also make sure that we build it into our strategy, the tourism strategy, because it's not different from what we've got in the stakeholder processes with the minister and the industry out there.
Thank you, Acting DG. I just wanted to highlight that with the creation of the new Department of Tourism, we've got an opportunity to do a lot than what we have done in the past. So I'm excited with the new developments because we will be able to focus, because in the past we were just one small piece within the bigger Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism, 5-6 DDGs and one DDG myself in tourism, and we're not getting. So this is an opportunity for us to really do what we can. And then I also wanted to highlight the fact that what has come out from the consultation with the stakeholders is the fact that the agenda for tourism in South Africa has been driven by accommodation, not by experiences. People don't come to an area because you've got rooms to sleep on. They come because you've got attractions to sell. So with that strategy, we're turning that around and focusing on packaging experiences that will compel people to want to come, rather than focusing on accommodation, say come to, we've got 5-star, 4-star, etc., because that's not the reason why people are going to come here. So that's the main focus of the strategy moving forward. And I also wanted to mention that we've got what is called the Global Competitiveness Study on Product Development, which touch into rural tourism. And maybe what we need to do, Acting DG, we need to present this one, because it begins to talk to what is it that we can do as South Africa to further unlock the competitiveness of South Africa as a destination. It talks about what could be done in the Wild Coast, in the KwaZulu-Natal, in all those, and we've got that in place, but it was never funded. So, but now that we're the Department of Tourism, we need to move and make it so that it happens. And then the other issue of domestic tourism, I wanted to comment on that one, because we've just released the statistics on domestic tourism. And what came out from there was the fact that the numbers are going up, but people are going home, visiting friends and relatives. They're not visiting the attractions that we have. So we need to ensure that we really develop a strategy that will ensure that we really showcase what we have. Rather than people going home, they need to go and see what South Africa is to offer so that we can be tourists in our country. So that's going to be the focus of the new strategy. And then the issue of the numbers, 100,000 versus 450,000. This one is that people are not going to come all at once. The 450,000 is going to be staggered within the 32. Some of them will come and go because their teams will lose, etc. So it's not people coming all at once and all going to stadium, and they're going to different cities. So we are confident that what we have is enough, because the game is played every 2 days. People come in, some people go to the finals, then some people would be gone by then. So it's done, and we've done an analysis in terms of what has happened in other countries. People don't just come in numbers for
32 days and 450,000. It's staggered. Some will come for the opening, and some will come for following their teams, etc., etc. So we are confident that the arithmetic is correct. It's not correct. So, yeah, so I just wanted to clarify that it's based on best practices so that we don't have a situation whereby we encourage investment that is not going to be used in the future and creating white elephants that are not going to be utilized. And, yeah, if you can.
Our members covered.
Sorry, Jay. Sandparks are the entity of the Department of Environmental Tourism. Sandparks will now fall under the Ministry of Water and Environment. But there is close collaboration between us and those entities as far as tourism is concerned, because the tourism are the main driver. And then if I can recall, I think they're getting about 240 million from the fiscus. And their total budget is in a region of about 800 million. So they generate almost 60% of their own revenue. And then interesting is that I think Kalahari is also one of the most visited parks in the Northern Cape. So that is the relationship now between us and the entities, Isimangaliso and Sandpark.
Thanks very much. We still don't engage. Please leave your business card with honorable members. If you don't have any, ask for some from the acting DG to make some for you, because we need those cards. Thanks very much, honorable members. The meeting is paid later. Honorable members, there's an item for the committee. The issue about the disky dance, Cindy, so maybe we should give the honorable Mguni's office now.
There are some wristbands, and if they put it on the system, they can. You can practice. There's even a 5-step process in there how to sort of get. And we would like this committee and the portfolio committee to lead the process in Parliament for us.
Put it in your computer. But the DG can stop someone demonstrating.
So the DG test is here.
Yes.
I can do it with my wheelchair.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you. And lastly, thanks, Johanna, for this and for all these arrangements.
Where are your offices?
I only have one card. Who decided not to give me a card?
Why is there no art? MRS.
This is not on me.
Why?
Why?
using your laptop now. Okay, Sundepo. Are you leaving this window now?
Yeah,
there was
a
list of
things, no? One
second. Well, one of us up. What's the thing up? Normally, we need to adopt this report.
Yes, I'm done. I don't know why you're asking.